You're listening to a download from North Sound One. Listen again.
Hello, and thanks for downloading the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester. Now, following an action-packed 3 days when the offshore Europe exhibition took over the city, you may think Aberdeen's energy sector would have taken it easy this week. But the companies who make up the Northeast's most vibrant industry haven't stopped for breath. This week has seen the opening of a new global headquarters in Aberdeen. The results of safety checks on North Sea waters have been revealed. A moratorium on new drilling projects has been debated in the European Parliament. And the Finance Secretary has announced the possibility of thousands of new jobs in green energy. Now, to kick off the week, the First Minister was in Aberdeen to officially open Centrica Energy's global oil and gas headquarters. 350 Centrica upstream staff are settling into new offices in the IQ building in Justice Mill Lane. Alex Salmond was given an update on the latest innovations and techniques deployed to find oil and gas today. He also unveiled a plaque officially opening the headquarters 2 years on from the Venture Production acquisition, which fundamentally changed Centrica's upstream business. Speaking to North Sound at the event, the First Minister commended the company for leading the way in extracting oil and gas revenue from challenging fields.
That's fantastic. A great new office, 300 people, more to come, and a company which is expanding substantially in its plays across Europe, around the waters around Scotland in the North Sea, in the Central North Sea, in the Southern Basin. But also as a global headquarters of a real serious force in upstream exploration and development, particularly in gas, but in oil as well. So all in great news and a nice tonic for the oil and gas industry, and a good celebration of a company which is going places. There's a huge resource left, difficult to put an exact figure on it, but you're talking about 25 billion barrels of oil and gas equivalent. Much of that is gas. Now, the economic conditions and the taxation regime has to be right, and the Westminster government would be very, very foolish to destabilise the taxation regime and to cause the anxiety that they've caused over the last few months. And the reason it's foolish, of course, is the only way to maximise revenue for the government and maximise jobs for the people is to make sure that resource is fully exploited. But if given a favourable wind from a proper taxation regime, there is absolutely no reason there shouldn't be massive quantities of oil, and particularly gas, coming from the waters around Scotland for the next 30 or 40 years. And this company is a sign of confidence in that future. I know that 6 out of 9 of their exploration plays in the North Sea this year have been successful. You know, that's two-thirds. That's some strike rate. Now, this is a very skillful, highly thought-of company, but nonetheless, that is an indication of the opportunity that's there for those who've got the willingness to go and get it. But it sends a very strong message about the vibrancy of the northeast of Scotland economy. It sends a message, I hope, to the government in London that they should stop trying to kill the goose that lays the golden egg. But it does indicate of the potential and positive future to come.
Meanwhile, across the city, the Environment Secretary was visiting the Marine Scotland Lab in Torrey. Richard Lockhead was shown how taste testing of fish has helped confirm there are no health concerns following the recent leak from Shell's Gannet Alpha pipeline. I caught up with him after he met staff at the lab and sampled some of the fish stock for himself.
The oil and gas industry is crucially important to North East Scotland in particular, but of course we have to do what we can to minimise the impact of the sector on our marine environment. So when the recent spill at the Gannet field occurred, Marine Scotland got into action and took samples of the water, of the sediment, and of course importantly of the fish stocks in that area of the sea as well, just to reassure ourselves and of course the public that there was no impact on the marine environment of that recent spill. And the good news, of course, is that the tests carried out at the laboratory here at Aberdeen have shown there's been no impact on any of these things. So that's really good news. And of course, the fish that's actually tasted by a tasting panel here as part of the assessment is of the expected fantastic quality we're used to from the North Sea, so that's very good news.
I mean, obviously, we spoke to you a few times through this bill, and as soon as people know lives aren't lost, their next concern is always the environment. So it's very important to have that information and to have it quickly to be able to reassure the public.
We believe in the utmost openness and transparency, and that's why we want to see that in the oil and gas industry as well, because we need to have information quickly so we can analyse the impact on marine environments. And Marine Scotland, the Scottish Government agency, kicked into action immediately immediately to make sure we were able to find out what that impact was. And the subsequent tests that were taken and looked at here at the laboratory in Aberdeen by the scientists here looked at the sediment, the water, and of course our fish as well. And even the tasting panel that was put into place to taste the quality of the fish was very important as part of that process. And it's all good news. There's been no impact on the marine environment identified, which shows that the oil just dispersed naturally. But we can't be complacent. We always want to continue to monitor these things.
And have you had a taste yourself this morning?
Well, I was shown how the tasting panel worked in terms of looking at the quality of the fish that's taken out of the water when there's an incident. And I was delighted to note that it was fantastic quality what I tasted. So I was shown how the whole process worked. And it's a very detailed and scientific process. And that should give the public, the fishing industry and other sectors reliant on the marine environment, and of course consumers, the utmost confidence that these procedures are in place to protect their interests.
Two biggest industries, it's almost them coming together up here in the northeast, you know, protecting each other.
Well, it's not just the oil and gas industry that rely on our waters, of course, it's the fishing industry, and that's why when there is an incident in our waters, we have these checks put in place to make sure we understand any impact on our fish, for instance, that's caught in the areas concerned. And all the tests, including a tasting panel who actually taste the fish, have found there's been no impact on the quality of the fish caught in that area, and that's all good news.
At the European Parliament this week, a new report designed to improve safety standards and clean up procedures around EU drilling sites was the subject of fierce debate. Vicky Ford, MEP, drafted the proposals in the wake of the Gulf of Mexico oil spill last year. It calls for safety standards to be refined and individualised for each rig. Green MEPs used the occasion to renew calls for a moratorium on new drilling projects following the Gannet Alpha spill. Speaking after the debate, Lib Dem MEP George Lyon admitted there are some problems to be ironed out, but defended the North Sea's safety record.
In the report, it sets out the views from the investigation into the US Mexico spill, Gulf of Mexico spill. Indeed, if the safety parameters that had been used, that are currently used in the UK sector and in the North Sea, had been integrated into the US system, it may well have prevented the huge disaster and oil spill that there was there a number of months ago. And what Parliament said today was no to a knee-jerk moratorium on any future drilling. It said yes to improving standards, spreading best practice across Europe to those areas where there are genuine concerns, and the need for transparency and trying to increase standards and improve standards as we go on. I don't think it'll have a huge impact in Scotland. What it will do is take that best practice in Scotland and spread it around the rest of the European Union, which is the right approach. What it doesn't rule out, of course, is the need for increased standards and for new legislation, provided it fits in with the framework of legislation that we currently have. The great worry was that we suddenly got a new framework brought in at European level that conflicted with what's happening in the UK. And also, if we got a moratorium, it would end up with huge job losses, loss of investment in the North East, and a major economic blow to Scotland. So I'm pleased with what we come up with today, but it doesn't rule out the prospect of rules being tightened and new legislation in the future if it's needed. They are being disproportionate in their demands. They are not taking into account the impact that would have on the economy in Scotland, on the North East in particular. And they're not taking account of the current safety record in the North Sea. We had a huge disaster a good number of years ago called Piper Alpha. And the rules and the standards that were put in there after Lord Cullen's investigation are a benchmark that's now used around the rest of the world. That's not to say that there are not gaps that need plugged. So yes, we plug the gaps. What we don't do is throw out what we've got and introduce this moratorium until a new framework's brought in. That's the wrong approach altogether. And I'm glad that the Parliament today threw out the Green suggestion. I would have hoped after the Piper Alpha disaster and the recommendations of Lord Cullen that the whole culture of safety on the rigs would be one of openness and transparency, and that anyone who had concerns would be able to report that. Clearly, there still is an element of secrecy there. We saw that with the leak recently in the North Sea, where it took days and days before the oil company were willing to tell us exactly what's going on. So clearly, that's an area that needs to be tackled. It needs to be acted upon. And I would encourage the oil rigs, companies, to cooperate with authorities to make sure we do get that transparency and that openness that's needed to make sure that we keep safety records in the North Sea at the highest level. big concentration has to be in making sure we drive standards up, and I'm hopeful that the EU, working with the UK's authorities, will make sure that that's what happens.
And there was some good news for the renewables industry, with the Scottish Government announcing plans to help create 130,000 green jobs by 2020. Finance Secretary John Swinney is creating three enterprise zones to encourage growth in struggling areas, and a fourth will focus on renewable energy manufacturing all over Scotland. Mr Swinney is admitting, though, that creating the jobs will require billions of pounds of private sector investment.
What's important is that we put in place the right climate to encourage investment and to encourage the creation of jobs, and we're particularly interested in doing that within the low-carbon economy, where there are opportunities for Scotland to lead the globe in these developments. The Scottish Government can put in place support to individual businesses, and it can put in place assistance in general in relation to business rates. Now, there's a wider range of tax incentives that we would like to put in place, but of course those powers are currently held by the UK Government and not available to us.
And that's the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester.
Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound1.com/listen again.